in. Now you guys are.
How many, wait 1 second, I didn't quite hear you, I was doing two things. How many do you have for us, sir?
I have four.
You have four?
Four revocations and one regular parole.
You have one regular parole?
Yes.
Who do you have regular parole, sir?
That'll be Mr.
Okay, well you can, since he's standing there, you can let him come on. Okay, yes, sir. Please have him to come forward.
I see what he's doing, yeah. He's, okay, I think I remember.
Good morning, sir. Would you,
are we ready?
Would you state your name and ADC number for the record, sir?
That's Gilbert Noriega, 052-155.
Thank you, Mr. Noriega. Who's going to do him for us? Which board members have this package? I don't have it. If I do, I don't see it. So I don't have it. Anybody have Mr. Noriega?
Looks like we have a letter that he'd like to add his parole.
I don't know, sir.
Oh, you have this, Johnson? I mean, this yellow sheet. I mean, this sheet here. Anybody have him?
Okay,
Mr. Johnson has him, and you said that we do need to make a phone call.
In this letter? Okay, it's just. And he wanted to us to call his parole officer.
Well, I'm doing that. The Johnson's showing on
the we're given there.
Mr. Johnson. I'll pass these to you so that you can see. Well, I'm going to see if we get the parole officer, and then we'll be ready to turn it over to you, sir. Mr. Noriega, now who is your parole officer, sir?
His name is very hard to pronounce.
Oversight, sir?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I'm going to try to get. I'm not going to get all four of these parole officers. I'm just going to get one and see if that one is available, sir. So hold on.
Very well.
I'm trying to reach a parole officer, and how is his name pronounced, sir?
I believe Oversight.
Oversight, is this parole officer Oversight?
That is correct.
Okay, sir, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and Mr. Noriega asked if we would include you on his hearing this morning for revocation, his revocation hearing this morning, sir. And so, do you wish to participate, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, if you would hold on, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson will begin this hearing very shortly, sir.
All right.
There are several people here for Mr. Noriega. Is it Donnie Noriega? Okay, Angelita, Diane, Rachel, Charles Winford, Carlos Santos. Now, are all of you going to speak? So that's going to come a point that we have to swear everybody in. So at that point in time, then we will swear everybody in when we get ready to do that, okay? Okay, sir, could you please state your name and your ADC number for us for the record?
That's Gilbert Noriega, 052-155.
Okay, so you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members and the Department of Correction Parole Officers that is represented here today. To my far right is the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse. Coming to the left, right next to her, is the Honorable Luis Quinones. In the middle here is Dr. C.T. Wright. Dr. Wright is chair of the board. My name is Michael Johnson, sir. I am going to be acting as your panel chair today. And to my left is the Honorable David Neal, sir. Prior to this hearing, you signed and received a notification form advising you of this board's hearing. On the form, do you recall receiving and signing that form notifying you of your hearing today, sir?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so on that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I will be representing myself.
Okay, so at this time, I also like to introduce you to Mr. Osborne. Mr. Osborne is representing the Department of Correction as well as the parole officer. Sir, at this time, I am going to swear you in along with Mr. Osborne, along with those who are here, supporters that you have here today. I'm going to have all of you be sworn in at the same time, but I'm going to have each of you to respond separately to the question, okay? Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, or have you God do you so affirm? Mr. Noriega?
I do.
Okay. Donnie? Is that, am I saying that right?
It's Donna.
Donna? Okay.
I do.
Okay. Angelita?
I do.
Diana?
I do.
Rachel?
I do.
Charles?
I do.
And Carlos?
I do.
Mr. Osborne?
I do, sir.
Okay. Okay, sir, your hearing today will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we'll determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, sir, we'll determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out at phase one, sir. You have one allegation listed. You have one allegation listed on your warrant, sir. I'm going to read that allegation to you. When I read that allegation to you, sir, I need you to state whether that allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes.
Okay, the allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7 as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about July 28, 2017 per the task individual testing compliance summary dated August 23, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
That's true.
Okay, thank you, sir. So based on the admission of Mr. Noriega, I'm going to rule upon that he was delinquent as that he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, but he may have lapsed or is about to lapse in two criminal ways or something. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Sir, on the telephone?
Yes, sir.
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Wright and Luis, and you guys all agree?
Agree.
Okay, so we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, the board will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out with first getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Osborne, sir. Then after we get that information from Mr. Osborne, we'll come back to you to get any information that you'd like to present to the board, and then we'll come to the supporters to present information that the supporters would like to present to the board.
Very well.
Okay. Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Mr. Noriega was released from DOC custody on December 16th of 2015. He was arrested on August 23rd of 2017 at the South Mountain Parole Office on a tech violation and was returned to our custody that same day with 0 abscond days with a community supervision end date of January 1st of 2079. And we knew that when it's life, so the life term. Current conviction, 1990, murder first degree, life. Prior convictions, 1985, robbery, 4 years, and 1986, promoting prison contraband, 2 years. He's had 2 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 3.3, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 3. During his SCG ending, information noted that he suspected New Mexican Mafia. Prior terms of supervision, 1989, provisional release completion, 6 months. He has a significant disciplinary history with fraud, fighting, assault with weapons, and possession of narcotics noted. Other arrests, 1980, assault, AZ juvenile detention, and 1983, burglary, third degree, AZ County Jail. And he has a community risk score of G3B5.
Okay, Mr. Noriega, I see that you were released. At the time that you were released to reside with your father at 17526 West Juniper Drive in Goodyear, Arizona. Then you were approved to stay with your uncle at 740 West Elm Street, apartment number 208. Then you were approved to reside at the residence on your own, living at 3848 North 21st Avenue in Phoenix, Arizona. It says here, sir, that as of 12/16/17, you were referred to the Department of DES. Reported that you had employment, and then on 5/16/22, that you changed job and you were working at the Integral Health Services located at 1501 East Orangewood. Sir, is anything about that not true or something that we're missing?
Everything's correct.
Okay, sir. And it says that on your program, it looks like you were directed to anger management. You completed anger management on March 1st of 2016. You were placed on a treatment screening center at Task Color Code for random urine screens, and you were assigned the color maroon. According to your testing history, you started back in December of 2015, sir. It was all negative, and then July, there was no sample collected. Since July 29th, no sample was collected. Then appears either the next day or next couple of days, August 1st of 16, you reported and it was negative. And we went all the way through to December of 16, no sample collected. December 22nd, you went back. December 27th of 17, it was negative, negative. And then you had in May of 17, you had your color changed. And then May 24th, you were negative. In June, you were negative. And then in July, there was no sample collected. Why were you having these no samples collected, sir?
The very first one was because I was working 12 to 14 hours a day, and I just happened to miss that call, which is the date that I was stabbed by CPO Rich and CPO Maynard. Mm-hmm. The second one, on July 28th of this year, I had a very hectic week. I was trying to accomplish my goals, and I was in the process of moving and renting vehicles, new hauls, and I just had a lot on my plate that day, and I just happened to miss that call.
Okay, it says in the report that on December 28th of 2016, you were stopped by your parole officer, and your parole officer told you that if you missed another diluted or positive UA, that you would be immediately returned to custody, and you acknowledge understanding that, sir?
Yes, I did.
So are you also aware that one of the conditions of your release that the parole officer was to begin placed on you by this board here, that the parole officer to begin revocation process upon the first positive, missed, diluted, unsuitable for testing, or unexcused UA for drugs or alcohol?
Yes, I was.
Okay, so I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions. not seeing any additional questions from the board, sir. Is there anything else, sir, you'd like to tell the board as to information you'd like the board to actually have?
Sure. If you allow me, I'd like to read what I've written out for the board.
Okay. So,
Go ahead. First of all, good morning to all board members. Thank you all for this opportunity to be present today. I'm grateful for finally being able to have a hearing. Unfortunately, my paperwork was lost for several weeks, and it wasn't for CO3 Roberts and his supervisor CO4. I might not still be in front of you. They recognized that I was still in the process several weeks after my return, that department timelines were not followed, and were able to quickly correct the oversight. I appreciate all their efforts in helping me find lost paperwork and getting me processed so that I could appear before you timely to hear my case. I want to apologize to all board members, to my family, and to my friends who are present here today on my behalf for having to appear before this board and having to go through this process again. On December 15, 2015, I was granted parole and was given the opportunity to be released back into society by unanimous vote of all five board members that were on the panel at that time, because it appeared to them all that in their sole discretion that there was a substantial probability that I would remain at liberty without violating the law, and that my release would be in the best interest of the state. On that very day, I made a promise to all board members, to myself, and to my family, that I would become a law-abiding citizen and conform my conduct to the requirements of the law by changing my life around and move forward in life in achieving the goals I've set for myself, the very goals I've written in my pro plan. Within a 2.5-week period of my release, I required a cell phone, an email address, internet access, a driver's license, a car with full insurance, a job working very hard at 12, 14 hours a day, many times 6 days a week. I was employed for Velocity Automotive Marketing for a period of 16 months, until I achieved yet another goal and received employment with Sodeta Subacute Services, which is now Integral Health Services, with an increase in salary and benefits. During this period of time while on parole, I've made contact with all three of my parole officers every month as scheduled. For 20 months, I had negative results on all monthly UA tests of drugs and alcohol. I've never failed to notify my PO of any changes of employment or residency, as well as getting prior approval before any changes were made. Nearly 1 year later, I failed to call task and provide a UA sample. I was staffed at that point by CPO Rich and CPO Maynard. I was instructed to provide a UA first thing on Monday. The results of that UA came back negative. In March of 2017, my then assigned PO Rachel Underwood removed me from task, no longer having to call daily Monday through Friday, with the condition that if and when she wanted me to provide a UA, she would call or text me. She also informed me that sometime soon I'd be assigned another PO as she was to be transferred out. 2 months later, in May 2017, I was assigned my third PO, Neil, who then placed me back on task on calling daily Monday through Friday. Soon thereafter, I had to drop a UA, and yet again, results came back negative of any drugs and alcohol, showing that even for those 2 months of not having to call or provide a UA, I'd maintained clean. Unfortunately, 2 months later, on 7/28/17, I forgot to call task and drop a UA. I can propose to the board that all of us, at one time or another, have made a simple mistake. My realization is that by trying to accomplish all the achievements that I did, in doing so, I lost sight of the first and foremost priority so that I can continue being a productive member of society, and that is obeying all directives and guidelines as part of my parole. I'm sure we can agree that life out there can be overwhelming, but I now see that I do not have the liberty of being complacent with my terms of my parole, no matter what occurs in my life. The appreciation that I have for this life experience of being in front of you all today has put into perspective my responsibilities that I have agreed to abide by, and a hard pill to swallow is that I am thankful for this wake-up call. I'm not asking this board to overlook my failure to call task that day. What I am asking the board is to take into consideration the nature of the surrounding facts as to why I forgot to call and provide a UA. Was my failure to call was not intentional or deliberate. I had a very busy week and weekend ahead of me. I was in the process of moving two households into a home that I just signed a lease for. A lot of planning and coordinating, packing, moving, renting new halls, checking on reservations, making sure everything was in order to move all of my household belongings from my condo to new home, as well as my girlfriend's household belongings from her house in Santan Valley to Phoenix into our new home together. All of this after I get out of work at 3:30 p.m. All this coordinating and moving was very time-consuming, stressful, and costly, but I managed to achieve what I set out to do for my new life. I worked very hard to get where I was, like buying a new car with payments, renting a house, and starting a new life with my girlfriend, doing my best to continue forward in the plans and goals I've set out to accomplish. During these 20 months on parole, I'll consistently call tasks daily, Monday through Friday, even on holidays, to be certain that I did not have to drop a UA, with the exception of those two documented days I've missed, which were neither intentional or deliberate. For 20 months, I've had negative UAs of all drugs and alcohol. No refusals, diluted, or unsuitables. For the past 33 years of my life, I've been clean and sober of any alcohol consumption. I simply made a simple error. I forgot to call task and drop a UA. I stay true to my promise to this board, to my family, and to myself in maintaining a positive and clean record and changing my life around to achieve my freedom. I respectfully ask all board members to consider all the things I've accomplished to better my life, the consistency I've shown in maintaining full-time employment, not one missed notification to any of my assigned POs of any changes in my status, all negative UAs in 20 months, and grant me reinstatement so that I can return to my job, my family, my home, and to continue to pay my taxes and regain my status as a productive member of society. And in conclusion, I once again uphold my promise to this board that if granted reinstatement, I will continue to follow through with what I've set out for myself and for my life, and be a responsible member of society, knowing that it will cost me much more of my life than just a couple of months that it has now. Thank you all for allowing me this opportunity to tell you all the positive of my release.
Okay. Does the board have any questions, Mr. Noriega? Okay, if the board doesn't have any questions, at this time we're going to allow the supporters to come up and speak. Give you the opportunity of who wants to come up and speak first. However, when you do come up and speak, please state your name and then provide any information to the board that you'd like the board to have.
My name is Diane Reyes. I don't know if you got my package, but I sent documentation to that Mr. Noriega's incident where I had bought the rental for the U-Haul company for the 3 days that we did it, renting up. And then I took a photo of him at the dealership buying his car. And I also have a copy of his lease. And if you like, I could give one each or just take my word for it. However you like to do it, just talk.
Well, we could take your word. I do want to advise you that any documentation that you present to us, we won't be able to give back to you. It becomes part of the record.
Not a problem. I have copies for you.
Okay.
All right. So would you like them now? Or?
Sure.
Okay. And I apologize, I only have four. I thought there was only four board members, so however you want to divide them up.
So, Chris, go ahead.
Okay, I wrote a little something down, kind of in my mind here. Again, my name is Diane Reyes, I am Gilbert's girlfriend. I'd like to thank you for allowing me on his behalf. With your permission, I would like to read what I have to convey. Gilbert is a man who has learned a valuable lesson about life and the existence that he has endured. In getting to know Gilbert in the last year, I have seen his true meaning of being a good citizen. There are various goals that he set when he was paroled and has already achieved, like renting a home, which is most difficult for difficult for him to deal with his past record, but he overcame that issue, not to mention that he bought himself a new car, making payments. This is a man with determination. Gilbert has a high ambition in anything he does. When asked to do something, he always gives his best. If you want the shirt off his back, it's yours. Humility is his strength. I have observed Gilbert on a daily basis and saw how he has great potential to achieve his other goals in life. Believe me, he is a very hard worker, whether at home or at work, a man of dignity that shows integrity. Please, I ask the board to allow Gilbert Noriega to return back to society and our home so that he may continue with his goals and achievements awaiting him, as well as his family and friends. Thank you so much.
Yes,
we
didn't have any question,
Ms.
Reyes.
I'm sorry.
Yes, Chairman. How long have you, the two of you, known each other?
A year. An exact year.
So you met him after he was out on release?
Yes, I did. And he was very honest with me from day one and told me what his past was. And I've always been a firm believer. Everybody needs a second chance. And that's just always been my motto. No matter if you're being hired for a job or whatever a person might have done, that's just something I've always believed in, that he is doing what he's supposed to do out in society. And in that year I had been with him, all he wants to do is work. You know, at first I thought it was funny because he says, "I love to work." I'm like, I looked at him like, "Are you crazy?" Excuse me. And so, I mean, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, what he promised to the board, and this was a human error. It was stressful for him.
So were you aware of the fact that he missed the UA?
Yes, I was. And that was what I'm saying. That day that he missed it was stressful. The whole month was stressful looking for some place because he wasn't being accepted because of his past. And then he finally found a home, and then we got into it, and that was it. And we were moving and stressing and having to rent vehicles. Money was an issue for us. He's moving me, my household, and his household. And I don't know, something must have deterred his attention because he puts his alarm on every day at 11 o'clock. That's for task, to call. And so something or someone must have walked up to him and said, "Hey, you know," and it just made him slip his mind because that's not him. Gilbert calls every single day, and I didn't want to offer a call for him just to make sure he doesn't miss it. But he is trying, and he has made a big difference out there. And his family all love him. I'm just amazed at how much love he has out there that people want him out. His father was very sickly right now. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to be here. But they're a wonderful family, and he is a wonderful man. And I ask the board, please,
yes, ma'am,
consider his reinstatement, please.
Thank you.
I need him at home.
Yes, ma'am. Thank
well,
you.
Well, that means there's no question.
No. Mr. Yes, the documentation you gave us, I see that on July 24th and the 29th and August 5th, looks like he rented a trailer, but that was the day that he didn't call in, was the 28th. Is there a reason why he missed that day before he actually rented those vehicles?
Again, like I said, it was just a stressful week trying to do all this. He was handling it all. I wasn't even pretty much part of any of this moving. He arranged everything, and he was just trying to make sure that everything was done, and we got moved in on the 29th. He rented on the 24th a 10-footer for himself to bring himself into our home, and then he rented a 26-footer to bring my household, and then we had to get a trailer again to be able to bring the rest of the items home. And that's what, but I cannot explain to you why he missed that day. It was a very stressful week.
Okay.
Very stressful.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, who's next? No, who's coming up next?
Okay, can I say something? Look?
Yes,
say
ma'am.
Hi, Gilbert, I love you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can I read them, please? These are just my copies that I
wrote.
They're the same thing I'm going to read to you. First, good morning to you all.
Good morning.
I'm Gilbert Noriega's sister.
Okay.
Angie. Hi, my name is Angie Noriega, and I would like to thank you for the opportunity to relate my sincere opinion and the love for my brother, Gilbert Noriega. Being reunited with my brother after so many years away in prison, I finally got the chance to spend quality time with him. During the past 20 months that he has been out, we built a beautiful and more endearing relationship. This for me is a wonderful feeling to know that I have my brother back in my life. I want our relationship to continue to grow, to be part of each other's lives once again. I have other brothers, but none of them show the love that my brother has been showing me these last 20 months. I am proud of my brother as he has shown true dedication and appreciation for life and society. I have seen determination when he sets out to achieve goals. He has become very committed and loving and a loyal man to his family, especially to me being back in my life. I just wanted to explain something a little bit about the prior months he missed his call. I was with him throughout that week and through that, even that day. I remember him going, looking for homes prior weeks, trying to find a home for them to live. And it was really stressful for my brother, being denied many times and paying deposits and being turned down. But Gilbert kept on going. He got back on his feet and he continued and applied until he was approved. That week before the final we moved in dates, which was Friday the 28th, and on Saturday, we were very, very, very busy. Moving was hectic. It consumed our whole day. And even I, myself, forgot things that I had to do. I wasn't even on the Saturday, which was our final day, that we stayed till, I'd say, 10 o'clock at night when I finally made it home from first thing, 7:30 that morning. I even myself forgot an event. I didn't make it because that's how busy I was. I did everything to help my brother to take less stress off him. All of us that were there, it was four of us, tried to do our best just to help him. I know that my brother was really stressed all week, and I did whatever as I could to help him. I do ask that the board give my brother another chance and release, and that he can come back home. I truly do see changes. He has made changes and many accomplishments, and he's a really good man. He's a good brother. He's good to people, and he has a big heart, and I do know that he sincerely regrets what's happened and missing his appointment.
What other questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you guys very much.
Hello, my name is Carlos Sanchez, and I have a copy here for one of you.
What is it?
It's just a letter that I wrote to say here. Okay, before I start, I want to state that since the day I have met Gilbert Noriega, I've always seen positive, you know, in him. He's always wanted the best for everyone and everything. And I'll go ahead and start with my letter. To whom it may concern, hello, I am writing in reference to Gilbert Noriega, who is appearing here before your board. Gilbert Noriega asked me to write a letter. Well, sorry. Not good at speeches. Gilbert Noriega asked me to write a character reference letter, but the truth is that I was already planning on doing so before the request. I feel strongly about Gilbert and about his future, and I want to make you feel the same. I hope you can listen to the words that I would like to share with you today and take them into consideration in this situation. Gilbert Noriega is a person of good moral character. I realize that might seem hard to believe given the circumstances, but it's the whole truth. I have known Gilbert for about 2 years, and in that time I have seen him move up the ladder and succeed with his life. I met Gilbert at the first day at what first known as Wakala. Since that day, we have been really great friends, and for about a year and a half, I have worked along his side for as long that I have known him. I am convinced that he is a great person. Gilbert is like an uncle to me, and he's always given me a word of advice. That will push me to achieve more success. He just needs more people to believe in him so that he can become the person I know he is. Gilbert has made mistakes and is incredibly remorseful and is willing to do whatever it takes to make reparations, financially and emotionally, if possible. But to do that, he needs you to give him an opportunity to a second chance. I recognize that Gilbert had failed to appear at one of his tasks. And I do believe that he should get off without punishment. I just hope you will recognize the power you wield with regard to the future of this man and make a fair decision. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Board, have any questions? Thank you, Mr. Santos.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Charles Wainford, and I was actually his boss for Velocity Automotive Marketing. Gilbert came to us right around Christmas time, so maybe not even a week after he was first released in 2015. I believe in second chances as well, and that is why I've actually hired him. He showed himself as a hardworking man and was eager to get out in the world and wanted to be a tax-paying citizen. From the very get-go, he has never let us down. He was able to move on to another job with more pay and being able to make a family, make his own home. My kids call him Uncle Gil. He's been to my place. It's just, I don't have anything other to say than he just wants to be that hardworking, hard-paying citizen. So, it's all positive. He's to the T. You have to be to work at 8 o'clock and he's there at 6 every day. He's the last one to leave. That's what he loves to do. That's what he spent all of his first monies that he made from being out on taking his nieces and nephews places and getting out acquainted with his family. That was his first priority. He did that for at least the first year. And then he worked on himself. Just to give you some form of showing you that that's what's important about him. So, thank you.
All right, thanks, sir. The board have any questions? Okay, thank you, sir.
Good morning. My name is Rachel Thomas. Thank you. I'm the niece of Gilbert Noriega. I'm actually married to his nephew, so I was into the family. And I first met him when he was out 2015, and I met him at our parents' at the funeral, the cemetery, bringing us all together. And I also agree with the second chances. I'm a firm believer in second chances. The circumstance does not make the man. We've all been in different circumstances. But I come here today in hopes that the picture we all paint brings you to see the goodness that is in Gilbert. Our family was in total shock to hear that he was even arrested. He has done so much to better himself in such a short amount of time. We pray that you have an understanding ear and keep an open mind to all the good and positive things he's done, not only for himself, but for his family. Gilbert is a source of comfort to all of us, his nieces and nephews, and of course, the rest of the family, but really to the nieces and nephews, as far as someone to look up to. And I'm older when it comes to the nieces and nephews, but all of the younger generation, especially. We look to him for his wisdom and his guidance, and we all have most respect for him. And since he's been home, he's portrayed nothing but lovingness with open arms to all of us. Being incarcerated for many years makes all of us appreciate the loved ones and time lost. But McGill has not wasted one second of his time in negativity or bitterness from what he's gone through. He leads by example with an open heart and positive lifestyle. He's hardworking, honest, and committed to living a good life while maintaining his integrity through the challenges that life sometimes brings. Because of the good man that our Theo is and our uncle is, and since his time home, he's become a role model for our younger generation, and I myself look up to him. He's a good man who's only trying to live life one day at a time. It's so easy to miss deadlines with the chaos of life. Everyone's calendars are full. I forget to do this, I forget to do that. Gilbert deserves a chance at life, a chance at being happy. He's in a relationship now. He has a steady job, a car payment, house payment. He's doing all of the right things. Please, give him a chance to be out where he belongs with his family.
Questions. Thank you, Ms. Shaw.
I don't have a copy of the tour.
No, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine.
Thank you.
Good morning. Chairman Wright, members of the board, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Donna Noriega, and I am here on behalf of myself and my husband, Gilbert's father, as a representative of his employer, Integral Health Systems, and as a community member. I am hopeful that you received my letter, Gilbert's father's letter, and a letter from Chris Priceall of Integral Health Systems. If not, I have copies with me.
We do have those letters.
Thank you. Gilbert's father sends his apologies that he cannot be here in person. He has medical conditions which makes traveling very difficult. But he asks that I convey his full support for his son and to convey to you how proud he is of all the accomplishments during the past year and 9 months on parole. As he wrote in his letter, he was his sponsor when Gilbert was released on parole, and despite great odds, he was able to gain employment immediately, save money, obtain a car, and was finally able to move into a place on his own. Being able to rent his own place was no easy accomplishment due to background checks and application fees. He never gave up on his goal, even though continued denials were frustrating. Since his release, he has been a law-abiding citizen, working every day, paying bills, and contributing to society. His home, car, phone are all still intact, and his father wholeheartedly supports his release. As for his employment, Gilbert is employed by Integral Health Systems. I am an administrative director there. Chris Priceall, the director for Integral and MedSite Services, which is Integral's holding company, asked me to convey to you that Integral is in need of Gilbert's immediate release to prepare for opening. Gilbert is a hard worker who has proven himself to be trustworthy, reliable, committed to the vision and mission of helping those in need of acute mental health and substance abuse treatment. As for me, I have been Gilbert's stepmother for close to 40 years. He has been an immense help to me personally, as his father is 70 years old and his medical condition prohibits him from doing much around the house. Gilbert has been there to assist with maintenance and repairs around the house and caring for his father when I've had to go out of town on business. As I mentioned, I am the administrative director for Integro, his employer. Gilbert came to Integro as Integro could not find reliable maintenance staff to work on renovations for the facility. The prior maintenance staff were frequently absent, arrived late or left early, and the quality of their work was poor. Gilbert has been a reliable, trustworthy employee with the keys to the facility from the day he started. We need a skill and work ethic to open the facility. Finally, as I said in my letter, aside from working on his own goals, one of the most impressive things I believe that Gilbert has done since his release is to give back to the community by volunteering his time helping children as an assistant coach in the Australia Youth Sports Basketball League and as a coach in the baseball league. This was not something he was required to do. This was something he chose to do. Spending two evenings a week in practice and a weekend day for competition games to give children a chance to play is inspiring. As a social worker, I know that giving of yourself to the community through volunteering reshapes and redirects your values, perspectives, and even your life goals. For all of the above, I support his release personally, professionally, and as a community member. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone have any questions? Thank you, Ms. Knight. Okay, so, sir, we're going to come around to the parole officer at this time and get the comments from the parole officer. Sir, if you want to make any comments at this time.
Is that me?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Thank you, the board, for giving me the chance to speak. Not to waste our time, I have listened to everything and everybody has to say. I just want to support it a little bit. According to my record, Mr. Noriega, he has been doing very well on parole since he got on my caseload. He got a new job. According to our conversation, I actually perceive that he has actually changed. When I look at his past history, everything looks good except for those misses. I almost did not put him back in task, but because of the condition that the board was giving to him, I had to put him back on it. During the time that this happened, he had told me that he was moving, so they were in the process of moving. And when that happened, I actually was not happy because I knew the consequence. And immediately I called him to come to the office. He didn't even argue with me. I'm guessing he didn't even know why he was coming back to the office for, what he was coming for. And when we arrested him, there was no argument, there was no fight. He just felt disappointed. And if I had any power at that time, I would talk to my boss to give him another chance. But we had no choice. So I just wanted to say before the board that Mr. Noriega has been a very good offender under my caseload. If my opinion matters, I will ask that we give him another chance. And that's all I have to say.
Okay. Sir, excuse me, because I didn't get your name. Could you please state your name for the record for us, sir?
This is Parole Officer Okunse.
Okay, thank you, sir. Does the board have any questions of the parole officer?
Mr. Wilson, how long have you been his parole officer, sir?
I'm sorry?
How long have you been his parole officer?
Since May, that would be about 4 months ago, 4 months.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. Mr. Osborne?
Yes, sir, I'd just like to state that also looking through the notes from when he started, when he began, is spotless, except for the missed. And the only reason we would have had to take him back, as the officer said, is because of the board stipulation. If not that, he would have been given a chance. Just wanted to note that, sir.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Noriega, the board's getting ready to go into a discussion, but prior to going into a discussion, sir, I'm going to see if there's anything else you'd like to say.
No, I think I've said everything, and I thank everybody for showing up on my behalf, as well as my PO and you guys as well. And thank you very much.
Okay, Mr. Noriega, the board's going to go into a discussion. While the board's in discussion, sir, we're going to ask you to stay on the phone, but however, we're going to ask you to remain silent. While the board's in the discussion. The board's going to make a decision at this time whether to revoke or reinstate you on community supervision, sir. When the board's completed their discussion, then we'll come back to you, okay?
Very well.
All right, the board's now going into a discussion. It appears that Mr. Noriega just has been doing the things that he's supposed to do, that the period of time when this occurred, that there is documentation that he had found a place, he was moving, and documentation that he was moving his girlfriend as well as himself during that period of time. He says that he made a simple mistake or a simple error, which I would conclude that any conditions placed on him by the parole officer or the board is not termed as a simple mistake or a simple error, that it's important that that he maintains all of his responsibility that he actually has. It doesn't appear that, at least from what I gathered through here, that he's relapsed and gone into drugs or drinking. It's just simply that he missed this, and I think that he now realizes the importance of maintaining or doing his thing. So I'm supportive of returning Mr. Noriega to community supervision, but I do have something that I would like to discuss with the board, as we talked about that one condition that we have on here, that he's to per the board, the parole officer revoked the process upon first positive, missed, diluted, unsuitable for testing, or unexcused UA, or that, I don't know if that's, you know, something that we may want to discuss, or just leave it on there as one of his conditions, but I'd like to hear from the board in this great house.
One thought we might consider is make it at the discretion of the parole officer.
Okay.
I think that's good language.
And let the parole, as you know, as PO said on the phone, he would have given another chance.
Okay.
Maybe. I didn't mean to interrupt. I think that's very good language.
Okay. Therefore, I'm going to make a motion to return Mr. Noriega to community supervision with the same conditions, and with one amended condition, that condition K, that something be, that it be added that this will be at the parole officer's discretion. Is that agreeable to the board?
Yes.
Yes.
So that is, my motion is to continue Mr. Noriega on community supervision with the same conditions, with the one amended condition that condition K be at the parole officer's discretion. That's my motion. Just need a second on that motion.
Second.
Agree. And what use of condition K?
K. It's condition K. According to the paperwork that's here, it's condition.
Okay. Agreed.
Mr. Neal, you second?
Do it 2 seconds.
Okay, Neal. All right, so agree, condoners agree, Rittenhouse agree. That would be the amended condition, unless the board has anything additional. Board has nothing. Mr. Noriega?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the board has voted to reinstate you on your community supervision, sir, in the same conditions that you have on terms and conditions of your supervision, with one amendment to one of your conditions, sir. That is the amendment to, according to our amended conditions, amended condition number 6, that the PO is to start revocation process upon the first positive, diluted, missed, unsuitable for testing, or unexcused UA. The amended condition that we had attached to that is that it will be at the parole officer's discretion. Sir, I do want to tell you that it's not a simple mistake or a simple error. It's very important that you follow all the directions and instructions that you have as terms and conditions of your release or your community supervision, that while you're out there, sir. So please take those things to be serious and take those things to be very important. I want to thank you for appearing and taking part in this hearing today, sir. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time. Thank you.
Thank you all. Have a wonderful day.